You're listening to The Naked Scientist. Now, still to come, we're going to find out how diamonds and other gemstones are formed, where to find them, and how to tell a true diamond from a fake. But first, let's crystallise all that by joining Ben and Dave for this week's Kitchen Science.
As this week's Naked Scientist show is all about diamonds and rubies and rare gems, I've met up with Dave for some kitchen science. Now, hopefully Dave is going to tell me how I can find some of these myself and become rich. So, Dave, is that what we're doing?
Well, Ben, I'm afraid if I knew how to do that, either gemstones would be worth anything by now or I'd be really rich. So I'm afraid not.
Oh, well, we're in your kitchen. So do you have any diamonds here?
No diamonds, but I'm going to show you how to make something kind of similar.
OK, so this is something people can do at home.
Yeah, no problem at all. All you need is some bicarbonate of soda, or ideally washing soda, which is sometimes sold as water softener, some boiling water, a couple of mugs, a couple of forks, some wool, and a plate.
Well, this doesn't sound like gemstone hunting equipment to me, so how do we set this up?
The first thing we want to do is make a washing soda solution, sort of about one part washing soda to four or five of water.
Okay, and what if we're using bicarbonate of soda?
We can actually convert bicarbonate of soda into washing soda by heating it above about 90 degrees centigrade. So if you pour boiling water onto the bicarbonate of soda and then boil it on the pan for a bit, that will drive off all the extra carbon dioxide and turn it into sodium carbonate, which is washing soda.
So does this mean when we make biscuits using bicarbonate of soda, we're putting washing soda in our biscuits?
You start off with bicarbonate of soda, yes, which then when you heat it, it breaks down, giving off carbon dioxide, leaving washing soda. This will probably react with something in the biscuit, so it's probably not pure washing soda by the time you eat it.
Okay, well, that's a bit of a relief, because I did quite like biscuits, and they've never tasted soapy to me. Well, if we have to boil the bicarb, I guess we may as well put the kettle on. And just while the kettle's boiling, how much bicarb are you going to use?
We want to end up with about 2 mugs worth of solution, so you probably want about a third of a mug's worth of bicarbonate soda.
That's quite a lot of bicarb.
It is, yes.
Okay, so we'll just put the bicarb in an ordinary pan, and it sounds like the kettle's boiled now, so how much water do we need to use?
A bit less than 2 mugfuls of water.
So about 4 or 5 times as much water as we have bicarb.
Yeah, that's about right. It's not critical, but somewhere around there.
Wow, as soon as you put the water in, the bicarb all fizzed up. It now looks like lemonade, actually. Is that the carbon dioxide coming out?
Yeah, that's right. And if we heat it a bit more, we'll get more of it off. So we want to heat it up and wait until it starts boiling properly rather than fizzing.
OK. And while we wait for our bicarb solution to get to the boil, what's the next thing we need to set up?
What we're trying to set up is 2 mugs with a piece of wool between them sitting into the water at each end.
Does it have to be wool? Could you use string or a nylon shoelace?
It'll work better with something made out of an organic material like wool or cotton string. It might work with nylon as well, but probably better with the wool or the cotton.
Okay, and does this need to be tight between the two?
It wants to be dipping down, so it's just below the level of the water in the 2 mugs. You also want to put this on a plate or tray to stop it making a horrible mess.
Well, why would it make a mess?
What it's going to end up doing is pulling water up through the string and dripping off the middle.
Okay, so the plate's just there to catch the drips. So we've got a piece of string that seems to be about 1 foot long or so, and we place it in both cups.
You don't want the string to fall out of the cups, and one trick you can use, if you tie a loop in each end and then catch it on a fork in each mug, then it won't fall out.
I see, yes, it holds the string right into the bottom of the mug.
And I'll just tie one on the other end.
Well, it sounds like our bicarb solution is boiling now, and it certainly looks to be bubbling away. So what's the next thing we need to do?
Well, now, very carefully, of course, because it's boiling hot water and actually quite dangerous. You want to take this up and pour it into your 2 mugs, which you set up earlier.
So we pour an equal amount into each mug?
Yep, that's the idea.
Are we trying to fill them?
Near to the top, probably not actually overflowing. Sort of give yourself a centimetre or centimetre and a half of kind of safety margin.
And I see that that's submerged each end of the piece of string, the bits that are attached to the fork. Is that what we need?
Yeah, that's the idea. And now you just want to pull the middle of the string down again because it's been pulled down by the water, so it's sagging nicely.
So it needs to be sagging in the middle between the 2 cups, and it actually comes down lower than the level of the water in the cups. How's that going to help us?
Because the string is very attractive to water, the water will stick to it and the string will become entirely wet. Now, if the bottom of the string is slightly below the level of the water, that actually acts as a sort of siphon and suck water from the mugs down to the centre, and you can see a drip starting to form now.
But doesn't that mean the water has to go uphill first?
Yes, it is going uphill, but because it's sagging below the level of the water, there's going to be more water going downhill on that side than coming up on the upside. So the water going downhill will be able to pull the water up over the lump, so it can carry on down and drip off at the middle.
So the water's going to move through the string, pulling the washing soda with it, and then drip off onto the plate. Now, what's this got to do with diamonds?
Well, if we leave this for a couple of days, somewhere warm and dry, like an airing cupboard, we should find out.
Well, we will leave this in Dave's airing cupboard for a couple of days, and for the second part of this week's Kitchen Science, we will come back and let you know what's happened.
That's Ben and Dave, sparkling as ever. Thanks very much. Now, this experiment, like they said, takes a couple of days, but they did this before, pre-recorded, but we'll be back just in 40 minutes. It's all you have to wait to find out what happens. But if you think you know what will happen, or if you've got any questions at all about the science of gemstones or any other science topic, email us, quiz@thenakedscientist.com.